10 years ago, tomorrow marks the fifth anniversary of the September 11th disaster, and we're praying for those families that God would bring restoration and health to them. But however, that the world in some aspects has definitely changed. That's some good news. I heard 3 days ago that a Hindu terrorist, and I suppose if you were going to be a terrorist, Hindu would be the thing to be because you can get reincarnated. So I guess if you blow yourself up, you can always come back and do it all over again, you know, so that's always good if you were going to be a terrorist. And he drove into a group of Muslim terrorists, and he blew himself up, 45 of them, to be honest. 45 Muslim terrorists lost their lives to a Hindu terrorist. And I thought I'd read the comment that the, here's the comment about this. It said that the, this is according to Abdul Jabbar, a Muslim cleric eyewitness. Whoever is behind this dastardly type of activity is cowardly and senseless, and they have failed to get the desired effect. Their aim was to whip up a frenzy in our community, but they have failed. Well, that was a little interesting. So I ended up, I just kind of ignored that kind of stuff, and I'm kind of looking at what's been happening in the world around us, and we live in just really unusual times. Times like Matthew 24 talks about, where Jesus is talking about the tribulation and the end of the age. And you know, for the whole dialogue of Matthew 24, it just is not good news. It's just not good news. It's talking about dark times and false prophets and evil men and destruction and the revelation of the Antichrist and the necessity for Christian witness and dutiful service unto the Lord. And yet that's going to be done in the context of great persecution and trouble and trauma. And when you the message that I heard that particular day, as good as it was, it kind of had this leaning that pretty much said, woe is me. It's all coming down around my head. And it's very troubling. It's very concerning what's going on in the world today. The whole world literally is probably at war with somebody. You know, there really is a world war out there. I don't mean to be eating cashews kind of there. I just didn't eat today, and I want my blood sugar to drop and get kind of crazy because I'm already halfway there. But what you think about what's going on in the world today, there's a lot of really crazy stuff happening in the world today. It's kind of scary what's going on out there. Where do you go to escape this kind of trouble? There's Iraq's are developing what are you know, still we're still a conflict there. Iran has a nuclear warhead. North Korea's, you know, I love the, did I tell you the comment that I read about North Korean minister in China got involved? Anybody see the comment of that guy in the newspaper? So China basically told the United States, there was the comment of their ambassador, you would think that you cared a lot more about California than you do, you know, Korea, from China. I'm like, oh, that's good news. This is getting good. And about the only ones that we haven't had any trouble with is Canada. And you know that one day that's going to happen, you know. The Canadians who have been silent all these years, it's going to be like that one kid that you went to school with in high school that just cracked and kind of took everybody out. You know, that'll be Canada, you know. But it's like there's this craziness that's going on. Even this one guy like condemning this other terrorist. And the pastor, the message that I had, I appreciated his heart so much, and I love him. And as he's getting older, I guess his perspective of the world is just kind of growing glib. And as he read it out loud, so there'll be a passage that I wanted to point out. But it's talking about the arrest and being persecuted and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because your allegiance to Jesus. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate one another. And false prophets will appear and lead many people astray. For a minute there, I thought he was talking about the Full Life mission statement. Sin will be rampant everywhere. The love of many will grow cold. But those who endure to the end will be saved. And there's that encouraging part at the end, but he didn't really talk about that. He just basically said, the world's at conflict and everything's over. And, you know, I'm getting old. I've seen a lot of stuff and it's all over with, folks. Thanks a lot. Go home. Just hang around with people that can encourage you. Bless each other as you go. Hug. Amen. Show's out. Elvis has left the building and we're kind of left there, you know. And as he said the words, kind of like, troubles like this are unprecedented in the history of mankind. I'm thinking, unprecedented in the history of mankind? This kind of trouble is unprecedented in the history of mankind? My first thought was, well, that Nazi Germany thing, that probably wasn't too good. That kind of genocide thing, that kind of seemed like it was a bad deal. And I started thinking, well, that Nero thing, that probably wasn't altogether all that good. You know, the burning Christians alive, that was a hard, talk about hard getting to church. You know, talk about getting up in the morning and not wanting to go to worship. Well, that actually could work in reverse. I suppose if you think you're going to get burned alive today, church attendance would just go up twice. That would be like, I'm getting to church. I was thinking, Genghis Khan. I thought about the Crusades and all the wars that had been fought. I thought about World War I and the horrors that were associated there. And just recently watched a film about World War II. It was a reality-based film. And then the horrors that have happened have just always been among us. And I would call attention to the fact that, yes, there are troubled times in the world. And it's ultimately all coming to some conclusion where Messiah will be revealed for the second time and Jesus will sit upon the throne. But friends, don't think for one minute that Jesus is not concerned about what's going on in the earth today. Because as far as my eye tells me, Jesus is still sitting on the throne. And I found myself provoked by words of someone that I care deeply about. And for a moment there, I think that there was a loss of perspective because the news can be so overwhelming that you just feel as though you're defeated before you even start. Now, regardless of what's going on in the world, how many don't even know what's going on in the world, couldn't care, you don't read the newspaper, it's like it's too, well, every time I watch the news I get depressed, I don't know the difference between, you know, Hezbollah and Taco Bell. It's like it's all out there. I'm not really sure what it is. I thought it was a new burrito they introduced at Del Taco. I don't know what you're talking about. Is Hezbollah sushi? Did I eat it once? I don't know. Like I've mentioned before, Disneyland's still open. Burger King's still going on. I got work to do. I can't even handle what I have in front of me right now. How many are just overwhelmed with just the issues of life that are going on? And that's an important aspect that I'd like you to hang on to just for a minute. I'd like to point out the fact that Christians live, and that's disappointing. I think I'll point there. That's kind of disappointing that we're in this tension because we don't really think we deserve it. I mean, we're in this tension, and there's this attack coming on. So this guy that I care about that I work kind of for who ends up in the hospital, he tells me on the phone last night at about 10:30, he's like, well, I just think I'm under attack. I'm like, well, no, you don't think you really? That's revelation for you. This person with their baby in the hospital, you know, it's that coming into the reality that you're under attack. And for some of you that are facing obstacles today, overwhelming obstacles, the information that's around you, the pressures that you are facing, you know, there is an element of spiritual warfare that's associated with that. And no matter what you think about that, the enemy is on the loose and there is pressure that comes to the Christian, persecution that comes by form of pressure. Is that surprising information to anybody? Here, just in case. So spiritual warfare by way of pressure. Now, what I'm pointing to in this is times like these, it seems that message is more prevalent. It's times like these that we're tempted to lose heart. It's times like these that we betray our faith. And when I say it in that context, I don't mean that we just start living like a Buddhist, although that's tempting. I mean more that we become less of a man, less of a woman than we should be when those times are happening. Now, in old Pentecostal circles, they used to call that losing your witness, you know? Act unbecoming. You're snippy and you're angry and you're just in that funky place where you don't want to be nice to anybody, you don't care about anybody else, you're just that. And you let it kind of get to you. You're letting it get underneath your skin. And so from the moment you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed, it's just one list of whatever it is. It's 20 hours of just complaining from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. And there's good cause for it. I am not a whiner. It's crappy. I'm dealing with it. But it's a lot. And if you were me, you wouldn't even be making it. You know, that's the feeling that we get when we approach the details of our life. You understand that? It's overwhelming. You ever been so overwhelmed you don't even know what to do first? You don't even know what problem to hit? It's like they're all coming at you, and so often it's just, recently I forgot to pay the light bill, and they called to set a notice, and the guy gets on the phone and says, I just want to remind you that you were late on your light bill. I'm like, oh, thanks for reminding me. And, you know, I tried to give him a check, and he goes, what happened? I said, well, I just forgot. And he goes, doesn't that make you irresponsible? I suppose. And he said, do you feel like you want to do anything about it? And I said, well, thank you, Dr. Phil, but, you know, the reality was I just forgot. I got busy moving my kid, trying to go to work. I mean, good Lord, there's all this stuff happening. And you know, I think that there's a part of that when you begin to mirror yourself and you begin to examine yourself in these trying times. I think that there's a little bit of that dignity, that human dignity, that Christian witness, that there's something about that faith level that has begun to diminish in people. And it's just kind of made us look cynical. I didn't notice it until, I'll tell you the story, I guess, it'll probably help frame it. We go out, we get there with Emily, we take her out to dinner, and she wants to know if she could take her new roommates with her, and I said, okay, I'm used to paying for 15 people to go to lunch anyway, so come on, bring them on. Go to Olive Garden, and we're sitting across these table of these two girls, and they're dressed to the hilt. I mean, they're wearing dresses and fluffy shirts, and, you know, here's my hippie daughter next to these two girls wearing all these little things. You know, I'm surprised Emily had shoes on, but she did this time. That's dressing up for her. And we go out to dinner, and here are these two girls, and they begin to interact in conversation, and they're asking questions about the life. And my wife is a very quiet soul. For the most part, she's pretty dignified. You know, she doesn't really have those kinds of rough moral fibers that I have. Usually she's kind of going behind me, kind of cleaning up after my bluntness. But here she's sitting next to me, and it dawns on me that in contrast to these two girls, my wife looks like she's some kind of a New York gang member. Because this girl, in her speech pattern and how she's talking about all the delights of the world, she reminded me, anybody ever seen the film Miss Congeniality? And you know the little blonde girl that wants to light the batons on fire? That was both those girls. And there was a moment in that conversation when I looked at Emily, I looked at Sue, and I'm like, are these girls like for real? And like she said, and here's how I noticed it. She said, do you guys have lasagna? And she says, we have three cheese lasagna. She goes, oh, I so love that. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Praise Jesus. And I thought, you know how you look at some people and you know they're faking it, you know? I'm like, oh, she's like that to the bone, you know? And I look at Sue and I'm like, we're going to have some fun tonight. And she's like, don't you dare. And I'm like, okay, I'll be good. But those are the kind of people you want to kind of like show the reality of the world to, you know? But I realized, in contrast to these people, I got convicted about it as we were driving home a little bit, and I started realizing, oh my gosh, how cynical have I become? How hard have I become? How much have I been betraying of who I am? I mean, I'm a fairly generous person. I used to be fairly jovial, and there's something about this season that has just made me into this grand cynic, you know? And it's a toughness to me that didn't used to be there. Am I hitting anybody today, you know? How many of you ever passed by somebody broken down on the freeway and part of you wants to stop and help, the other party is like, dang it, I got to get to work in like 10 minutes, so you're going to have to just walk, you know, shoot right by that person. There's a kindness, there's a gentleness, there's something that's kind of been missing, something that's been robbed from us over the last couple of years, and I think it's because of all the stuff that's been coming around us. It's been changing our character and how we relate and act to each other. So, I'm talking to Max last night, and he mentions that he's been kind of trying to share with this guy at work, and when asked to summarize the gospel, Max says that, you know, Jesus didn't come for this, and he didn't come for that. Jesus came out of relationship. It's out of love that Jesus came to be with us. Relationship, that's everything. And I started thinking that there's something about that community, there's something about that presence of Jesus that needs to kind of sink into each one of us today, because we could afford to be a little bit more generous with the times that we live in. I'm going to ask you, I read a little bit out of Matthew 24, but I'm going to go to John chapter 16. And this is, thank Jesus, don't go out in the spirit, but this is going to be a very, very, very short message. And in John chapter 16, there is a whole thing that I think that this person that's actually served as a mentor to me many times has just simply forgotten. I found mine, by the way, thank you. Jesus is talking about his return and death and resurrection. And the reason why I point this passage out is you got to remember, as stark as Matthew 24 is, And it's a lot of bad stuff. And it does talk about end times. It's not the only place that it talks about end times. And so there's other things about end times, other nuances about end times. What does it mean to be a person of end times in that particular context? Well, from what I remember, an end time believer is somebody of worship. And from what I remember, the Israelites' expectancy in their position of being exiled, anticipating the coming of Messiah, is not one of just calamity and disaster, but it's a positioning of worship. It's a readiness to receive God in the midst of the chaos of what's going on, in the midst of the disappointment. That's that interpositioning of Jesus over that. That was their positioning in when they looked at end times. And in John chapter 16, we see this whole discussion that Jesus has. And he finally comes to this point where he gives them the stuff, the bad stuff that's happening. And in verse 19, it says, Jesus realized that they want to ask him a question. And so Jesus responds by saying, are you asking yourself what I meant? And he begins to kind of going through the discussion about the suffering that he would soon face. And I think it would be appropriate if I could read it with a little bit of dramatization thrown in just for emphasis. Truly, you will weep and mourn over what's going to happen to me. But the world is going to rejoice. You're going to grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy when you see me again. It will be like a woman who's experiencing pains of labor. And in every context, you see their conversation about end times. Jesus mentions this phrase about labor, and it's always taught about the great travail that would take place. I witnessed my children coming into the world. It's a lot of trouble and trial to see those children birthed. Thank the Lord for, you know, drugs. And I'm talking about for me personally, not to see. He's like, does she want medication? I'm like, I don't care about her right now. Give me medication. There is lots of stuff that's going on. Lots of trouble that happens in childbirth. But there's a lot of joy that goes with childbirth as well. There is a rejoicing that comes when that life takes its first breath. The meaning of the tribulation is to bring forth life. And the meaning of the tribulation that you or guys are going through today is to bring forth life. It'll be like a woman who's experiencing those pains when her child is born. Her anguish gives place to joy. That's so important. You ought to be underlining that. It gives forth. It gives way. It yields to joy. You have sorrow now, but I'll see you again. And then you're going to rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask for anything. The truth is that you can go directly to the Father and ask Him, and He will grant you your request because you use my name. This is a hope-filled passage in the face of all this end-time stuff that's going on. Ask using my name, and you're going to receive, and you're going to have an abundance of joy. I have spoken these things to you in parables, and here's the important part. Jesus did not tell us the trouble of the end times so that we could collapse. I don't tell you bad news so that you can just not come to church and become paralyzed. The truth of the gospel is not made to cripple us and keep us emaciated by the side of the road, destroyed by our own insecurities, destroyed by our own doubts, incapable of moving forward. The church is not going to be defeated. We have an eternal expectant hope. And that may dare to fly in the face of all this end time stuff that's going on. And friends, you're going to have to forgive me for this, but do you know why they talk about end times like this? Because it makes them money. That's why they do it. They play off of people's fears. They know that you're going to buy the next book. You want to understand all the terrors of the time. You're going to go to those end time conferences. But the expectancy of the Lord's return is not one of disappointment to the believer. We are not going to have to run and hide at Jesus appearing, because the grace of God is reaching and healing and restoring. And friends, if you are Pentecostal, if you are charismatic, you have something innately inside you that is more powerful than any trouble you will ever face. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, the abiding presence of Jesus. And by God, it's time that the church got its mind wrapped around that and started to stand up. And I retort the great courage of my 12-year-old football coach, get up and stand like a man. And I would say that to you as a Christian. It's time to stand in your place. You know, we can't let the world collapse us. To be honest with you, I don't know how to stop the terrorists. I don't think anybody does. I don't know how to stop the homosexual agenda. I don't know how to stop the gang violence. I don't know how to stop the anger that's in the world. The only thing that I know how to do is to live out my faith and genuine experience before the Lord and be what He has created me to be. Because I can access the power of God to change things around me. Because I plan on being a light. Now, I might be in grand denial. You might say, look at that idiot out there with that joy upon his face. But I don't want to live like a complaining, whining little old guy that's just crippled in all of his nothingness. I am worth being as pathetic as I feel, but I'm not that pathetic. I have the power of God that is at work in a vital thing, bringing about life in everything that I'm experiencing. Is that hitting anybody today? So he finally gets down to this issue. He said that he gets to verse 31. And he says, do you finally believe? But the times are coming and it's already here. Yeah, you're going to be scattered. Each one of you is going to go his own way. You're going to leave me alone. Yet I'm never alone because the Father is with me. I told you all of this so that you might have peace in me. Here on earth, my friends, my children, my brothers, you're going to have many trials. Now, how many here have many trials, right? But take heart. Take heart. Take heart. Because I have overcome the world. I want to give you three things that I believe need to happen with this in mind about the giving away thing. When you wrap your mind around the sovereignty of God, okay? I remember my friend Todd, in the midst of my crisis of sort of being fired and ousted out of a job that I cared about. And he gets in the car, and I am giving him my valid complaints. I was being lied about. It was being ripped off. And I couldn't see how God was going to be used it. And he goes, give me your Bible. And he looked all concerned. I probably told the story enough to where you guys probably could quote it back to me. I just started realizing that. But he grabs the Bible out of my hands and he looks with a panic and he flips to the Bible and he goes, oh, man, I'm so glad that I did that. He said, why? He goes, because Jesus is still on the throne. And for a minute there, when I was listening to you complain, I thought he wasn't. Whoo, what a relief. Friend, your agitation needs to give way to contemplation. If you are aggravated because there's some bad stuff in your life going on, you know, there's power to change. Things will get better. You can focus in on what God is doing. Change your perspective. It's not as bad as you think. It really isn't. There's probably a lot of good things that are happening out there too. Your aggravation can just give way to that contemplation. Personal reflection about what's going on. Does that sound like a stupid idea to kind of ask God or think about what's going on in your life? You don't need to act that way. You're not a victim to your emotions. You're not a victim to your circumstances. Your anger can flare. You can be out of control. Things can happen around you. You don't have to be like that. That's how we all literally, we give way to those things, don't we? We feel them coming on. How many of you have never felt, come on, I'm not the only one here who's ever been angry before. How many of you ever felt your anger coming on? Could you stop it at some point in time? You know when it really kind of comes is when you just go, I don't care today. I'm going to be a jerk and I'm going to give it all out. You know, you want a piece of my mind, I'm going to give it to you in full blown. It happens. We can control some of that. Is that true? Do you hear what I'm saying? Get help if you're going through it. Let your aggravation give way to contemplation. Number two, let your trepidation give way to expectation. Let the fears that you are facing, the doubts that you are incurring, the frustrations that you are going through, let it give way to an expectant position, one that is hope-filled, waiting for what the Lord would do in your midst. And number three, let your anger, let your anxiety, let all the tension that you are feeling, let it give way to worship. Let it give way to just an openness before the Lord's presence. I believe that if you will do so, I believe that the kingdom of God will come in such a powerful way into your life that it'll just be awesome, and the things that'll change. How many have experienced good things this year as well? How many of you have experienced God's grace coming in a good way? God is empowering us to be able to be that kind of people. Now, I don't know exactly what to do with this. This world is World War III beginning. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I do know that craziness is contagious. So is stupidity. But that's no excuse for how I'm going to be in the world. Do you understand? So with that, I just want to just pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this gathering of people. I thank you, Lord, that there are people of faith that are still here. Now, from what I read in the Scriptures, Father, I know that one thing you're going to be looking for when you return is faith. And Lord, may we be a people of faith, that when you return, Lord, there would be that expectancy. And Lord, I'm praying that your joy would just come right now to me, God. And I pray, God, that you would begin to heal my mind and heal my spirit. Lord, I confess my sarcasm. I confess, Lord, my cynicism. I confess, Lord God, my doubting. I confess, Lord God, just the things in my heart that aren't right before you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me and that your grace would overshadow me, that, Lord, your healing would come to me and that you would restore me. I want to access that power that you have. So, Lord, I pray that you would come to me and bring a restoration of great joy. And the trouble that I face, God, you can bring me into the land of hope and expectancy. I go there willingly. Now I'm going to ask, I never do this, but I usually don't do this, but I just feel prompted to just say, just who needs just prayer today? Who could just say, look, I just need prayer. You know, I don't know, I just need some, I don't, either need prayer or I need an enema, one of the two. But dude, how many of you just need prayer for something just to go on there? Yeah. Could you guys, would it embarrass you just if you could reach out, Natalie, and maybe just lay hands on him? And Nick, maybe you could just lay hands over here on Ariana. And Steve, could you just lay hands on Steve in front of you? Can you do that? Just speak the peace of God over that person's life. Just speak the peace of God. You can do it. You pray and just ask the peace of God to come to that person. Seizing the fear. Taking hold of the doubt. Bringing it into authority, bringing it into obedience to the Lordship of Jesus. Let that peace now begin to give in to just empowerment. Let the power of the Spirit just begin to come into your heart. Don't be afraid to pray out loud. Don't be afraid to give that person a word. Hallelujah, Lord. Tell that person that they are loved of God. You're loved of God. Steve, you know you're loved of God. You are loved of God. You are a great man of God. You are a deep, profound person of faith. You have faced enough trials to where it would be believable if you were to believe in something else. But you continue to believe, which is either an indictment of your intelligence or an indictment of your faith. But you, my friend, are a person of faith. You're a gentle soul. You're patient. Some of the stuff that has happened to you in life, you've not deserved it. But the Lord is making himself very large in you right now in Jesus' name. You will ultimately come into a place of vindication from the Lord's presence. All that he has put inside your heart to do, the ministry that you have hoped for, the type of influence that you have expected to have, the books that you've intended to write, the messages that you've intended to speak, this is your time. It's going to happen. You have full permission with me to just keep being who God has made you to be. There's no shadow of turning in that. Brother, I mean, we met a few times. I know you've gone through a hard time too. You've been in the valley of decision. You're sitting there holding your little boy in your arms and you're thinking about all the events that you had in your life. You're wondering about where you connect and why it's all happening. You feel powerless to the stuff that's happened in your life. And brother, I've been where you've been, slept where you've slept, done the things that you've done. But I know inside your heart that you really want things to be better. You want things to work. You just need to know that God's got nothing against you. God's not holding anything against you. I don't care what anybody else has said. You know, there are people in your life that said you should have been ashamed, and that shame has just been carrying over on you, so much so that it's become like this weight. You don't even know how to get over it. How many apologies could you possibly say in a lifetime? Well, you only need to say one. You have meaning, and please forgive the intrusion on this moment, but the meaning that you have is right there in your arms. You could, that life is worth that care and concern. And it doesn't matter what anybody else does, whether they believe you or they don't respond. I just know, I've met you a few times. I know the struggles that you've gone through. I know that God really knows what you're going through. You know, when you're most worthy of wrath, God brings you mercy. And he is there to walk with you and accept you for who you are. There's nothing more that has to be done. And I'm just praying that your life would start coming together and that things would begin to work in your favor, that it wouldn't just be kicking crap every time you have to walk, that something, you get the break that you need. I'm going to believe God. I'm sure I'm believing that from Matt too. I'm believing the break would come in Jesus' name. And Ariana, I believe that too. You had kind of talked about that hardness of heart too, the skepticism that comes in. And I think that serving, when it moves into duty, can be really hard on people, you know, that the Spirit wants to work a place of generosity in you. You are a very genuine soul. You're very caring. You've helped the poor. You have lifted the downtrodden. You have believed in the face of hope. And I'm believing in my spirit today that God would just begin to cause there to be a restoration of the Ariana that you've always dreamed as well. That it's not just going to be about brokenness. It's not always going to be about disappointment. And I'm believing in my heart right now that not everything you do is subject to criticism or subject to disappointment. You're an open book before people, and that hurts sometimes. But, you know, not every decision you make is a stupid decision, you know. Just one I can think of. But not every one of them has been that. The Lord really wants to move in your heart in the area of grace. You just don't know what God's going to do through you. You just have no concept of the magnitude of your ministry in your life, the things that God wants to do for you. I just believe in my heart today that decisions that are made in faith, as crazy as they may sound, if you have just walked it out in peace, that God will bring you to a place. You know, there is life beyond whatever it is that you feel like you're tethered and connected to. When you follow that string, I can tell you this right now, that your provision comes from the Lord. You might just need to say that. My provision comes from the Lord, right? You're going to leave things. You're going to move to other things. But whatever happens inside between you and Jesus, that has to stay a constant, okay? So let the Lord move you to that place. Anybody else need prayer for anything? I have no idea why this is, why I'm doing this today, but anybody else need prayer for anything? We're okay? Okay? Yeah. Huh? Need a job? Well, Natalie, I think your days of wandering might be over. I believe in my heart that you're a very genuine person, maybe one of the most authentic people I've ever met. You're just out there and you have this unbridled expectancy. You've taken the craft of your life. I've heard some of the stories about it. You know, I don't look like I'm paying attention, but I honestly do pay attention. And you just keep pushing on. I love that kind of tenacity. If full life's about anything, it's about people that have just keep pushing past the crap and just keep moving till the glory comes, you know. And there's an old joke about these two guys that are in neck high and a bunch of horse manure, and one guy's excited and digging, and the other one can't figure out what he's doing. He says, with all this crap around here, there's got to be a pony, and you are that kind of person. You have unbridled optimism about the things that you're facing. And I'm just going to pray that God opens up an opportunity for you, one that is a perfect fit, one that brings you into your fullness. I pray right now that the peace of God that just passes understanding would just guard your heart and mind, and that you would keep on walking. Never stop, okay? Don't ever stop. Just keep on pressing in. Pass a disappointment into a place of wholeness, okay? Amen. Anybody else need prayer? Is this freaking anybody out? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, Lord, we just lift up right now. As a matter of fact, in proxy, Lord, we just pray for Russ in the name of Jesus. I want to bless that man for his patience, Lord. Thank you that he has been a home to the homeless. Thank you, Lord, that he has been a lover of the unloved. Thank you, Lord, for his just unbridled confidence in us, his faith here. He is one of the most loyal men I have ever met. I thank you, God, for his just friendship, his tenacity. Thank you for the blessing on his business. Now, Lord, I pray for someone he deeply cares about. I pray right now, Lord, that you would just be with Suzanne and bring her into that place of functionality, Lord, that the job for her would happen and that nothing would erode it, Lord, that there would be just your peace coming on her and that your hope would just be made realized to her in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I appreciate you guys. I want to thank you for coming today and hope that the Lord kind of touched you in that message. If I'm leaving you with three things, it's these three things that I just would like to remind you of. Number one, you are not defeated. The world may be a mess, but you are not. Jesus is connected right to you. There is a connection between you and the power of He who created the universe. There is trying times. There has always been trying times. People of faith have always suffered under these things, and yet we will prevail. And I call upon that character in you that you can stand up with the confidence that God does not have anything against you, that you are moving in that vein of peace. I pray that your aggravation would give way to contemplation, that you would be able to just let all those tension things go. And there be, I know this morning I had to go away and I had to go into that office. I had to close the door and I had to say, Lord, I need your peace because right now I can't even think. I need your peace to come upon me in Jesus' name. And it came. And I'm testifying that that aggravation could turn to contemplation. I'm praying that you would let all the tension, the anxiety, the point number two was to let your trepidation, your fear, all the things that you're going through, let it turn to expectation. God is still at move. There are good things that are going to happen for you. It may take some time, but it's going to happen. And number three, that all the characteristics of your humanity, your anger, your tension, all the anxiety, let it give way to worship. You know, I mean, a lot of people look at full-life people and think that we are the most, you know, like there's something odd with them. But what has always been our testimony has been that we've been a people of worship in the midst of all that that's going on, you know. It's an amazing testimony when I think of the things that some of you guys have faced. It's an amazing testimony of God's grace that just keeps you moving to the promise. And I believe that with all my heart. So God bless you guys as you go. Beat the Baptist to Denny's. Amen.